If you have your Bibles and you would like to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 for a few minutes. And if you don't, the passage that we're going to be looking at is on the outline, so you're welcome to follow along with it there. You know, Christianity is unique among all the religions of the world for a number of reasons. First of those is that every single religion talks about what people need to do in order to reach God. Christianity is the only religion where God reaches down to man. And that's why Christianity is more of a relationship with God than it is a religion. You know, another thing that is a part of our worship as Christians that's not a part really of any other major religion is singing. And aren't you glad for that after this morning? You know, the Bible talks a lot about singing. It's not surprising because, you know, when you sing, it touches your heart. And when God intervenes in your life and touches your heart, you want to sing. You can't help but sing. Psalm 96 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." And in the New Testament, even today, you've got it on your outline, Jesus sang with his disciples, it says. Last week, we looked at the Song of Simeon. We're looking over this Christmas season at different songs that were sung by different people at the birth of Christ in Luke chapters 1 and 2. And today, we want to look at the response of the angels at their song, if you will. An angel appeared to the shepherds starting in verse 8 in Luke 2. To announce Jesus' birth. And then follow along in your Bibles or on the outline, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. Suddenly, a great company, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, and here's the song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The first phrase of the song is about giving glory to God. Verse 13 says that more angels than can be counted, a great company, a multitude, say glory to God in the highest heaven. The angels, think about this, had seen Christ's power and glory before he came to earth. In the heavens, in the highest heavens. Can you imagine their joy and their amazement at watching God become a man? You know, that's so hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to understand what God has done. C.S. Lewis gave this example to help us. He writes this, "Lying at your feet, imagine a dog. Imagine for a moment that your dog and every dog is in deep distress. Some of us love dogs. If it would help all the dogs in the world to become like men, would you put down your human nature? Leave your loved ones? Your job, your hobbies, your art, your literature, your music, and choose instead of the intimate communion with your beloved, the poor substitute of looking at your beloved's face and wagging your tail. Unable to smile, unable to speak." Lewis concludes saying, Christ, by becoming man, limited the thing which to him was the most precious thing in the world, unhampered, unhindered communion with his Father. That God became a man makes us want to sing glory to God in the highest. You know how to say that in Latin? Actually, we're going to be singing it in a little bit, and we'll hear it sung, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. That's why those angels sang glory, praise to God in the highest heaven. And that is the ultimate purpose of salvation, so that we can join the angels in glorifying God. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said this, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the praise of God. That's the first part of the message, the song of the angels. The second part of the angel song is about the peace and grace of God. It says this, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. It's really peace in every way, but it especially means the peace that comes to us through salvation. It's like what we read in Romans 5:1. You have it on your outline. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. A number of years ago, I met a man whose name was Bob Sheffield. And he told the story about how he came to experience personally the forgiveness of Christ for him. Before he became a Christian, Bob played professional ice hockey in Canada. He was tough. He loved to fight. It was more than once that he got in a barroom brawl with others, and one night landed in a jail because of a fight in a bar. After he and his wife Nancy became Christians, they moved to Colorado Springs, where they had taken a temporary assignment with a Christian organization. They loved their work and decided to apply for citizenship. And they went through the immigration process, but they were denied because he had a record because of his fighting. And so he decided to apply in Canada for what's called a king's pardon, a queen's pardon. And after an in-depth investigation by the government, the pardon was granted. And Bob received this notice in the mail. It said in part this, a pardon has been extended to Robert Sheffield from all convictions against him. To him is given the royal clemency. We have pardoned, remitted, and released him of every penalty to which he was liable. You know, from that time on, if Bob was asked if he had a criminal record, he could say with confidence, no, I do not. That pardon meant that he was released from all punishment for his crimes. And the record of his crimes, the crimes that he had committed, were completely erased. And that is exactly the kind of forgiveness we have in Jesus. We are set free from any penalty of our sin, any punishment. When asked, our answer can be the same as Bob's. No record of our sin exists. We have been pardoned by the blood of Christ. You know, there is not a way for you to come to God except through Jesus. This is the only place that you can find a cure for your sin. There's no password to get into heaven. But if there was, the password would not be honesty. The password would not even be love. The password would not be church attendance. Receiving Christ involves turning to God from self and trusting Christ alone to forgive our sins. This is nothing we can earn on our own, nothing we can do. It's not about understanding it intellectually. It's not about an emotional experience. You receive Christ by grace through faith, and that is an act of the will. The Apostle Paul said it like this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you gave me a Christmas gift and I never opened it, I just let it sit there, you'd be disappointed. It'd be worthless because I could never open it and benefit from it or enjoy it. Jesus is God's Christmas gift to you. Is that a gift that you've received? Is that a gift that you've opened? Maybe you've gone Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never opened the best gift of all, God's gift of salvation to you. It doesn't make sense that you leave unwrapped something that can forgive your past and give you a purpose to live for today and a home for eternity in heaven. Think about that. Will you join me in prayer? Let's bow our heads. With your heads bowed, God is saying to you, right now, I've seen every hurt in your life, and I've never stopped loving you. You matter to me. I love you more than you will ever know. I made you to love me, and I'm waiting for you to love me back just like I love you. If you want to become a child of God today, you do it simply by placing your trust completely in Jesus. And you can do that by talking with God and telling him what's on your heart. Tell God you want him in your life. Ask God to help you turn from your sin. Dear Heavenly Father, you see every heart here. And if there's someone that is listening who is crying out to you, will you please open the eyes of their heart and allow them right now by faith to receive from you this gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you've trusted Christ today, I want to invite you to please come and talk with me or Pastor Nathan, Pastor Eloy, one of the other pastors here at Claremont Emmanuel. We would love to encourage you and to direct you in how you might begin to grow in your faith in Christ. And that's important. So I want to turn it back over now to our worship arts team for the conclusion of Fantasia Noel.